This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I behold the grave.
What a wonderful version of Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, sung there by the Fron Choir. St. Francis, one of our best-known saints, had one very big fear as he grew, a fear which didn't lessen when he became a Christian. He was terrified of leprosy. But one day on his missionary travels, he saw a leper coming straight towards him on the road. At first he was deeply agitated and he froze with fear. But then he did something which was completely out of character. On an impulse, he got down from his horse and ran to meet the man. He threw his arms around him and kissed him on his face. The minute he did this, he felt such a surge of joy, as if a burden had been lifted from him. As he walked away, he looked back at the man, but there was no one to be seen. As a result of that experience, Francis sought out lepers. He cared for their material needs, reassuring them of God's love, for he saw his Saviour in every single one of them. We could say that this was the moment that St. Francis crossed the bar, which here in the northeast means crossing over the troubled waters at the mouth of the river, where the currents are at their most dangerous. For some, it means to cross from death into life. In last week's programme, I mentioned an important environmental and social justice newsletter, which was most urgent and sent to our local churches working together in Wall's End, where I live. A paper which outlined the perilous state of our world in connection with climate change and the fragility of its economy at the present time. And I promised to say something this week about the helpful suggestions which were recommended to help us cross the bar, so to speak, so we can make a real difference in these troubling times. To make certain sacrifices like these will, in time, help others. First, let's listen to another song by Margaret Scott. We played one of her songs a few weeks ago. This one's called Inside Out.
You came for hurting people with hurting lives, smiles on faces and pain inside. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside out. You warned it wasn't easy, it never is. Dreams get damaged, our strength gives. We call to you and claim your promises, 'cause you take. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside us. Well, you said that when we're weak, that's when we're strong, but that's hard to believe. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside out.
So what can we do according to this report? What do they suggest we do to try and remedy some of the world's problems? Firstly, it says we can reacquaint ourselves with the three R's, which are reduce, reuse and recycle. First of all, reduce. Cut down the amount of meat we eat and try to buy locally grown vegetables or try growing our own. Fly as a last resort. Cheap flights cost the environment dear. To walk, cycle, or use public transport whenever we can rather than using the car. They give an example that one of the most sustainable forms of transport, a double-decker bus, can take up to 75 cars off the road, and switching even one journey in 25 to the bus would save 2 million tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions. We could switch to a green energy provider, spend less time on the internet, and make sure we don't leave electrical goods on standby when they're not in use. They suggest we put on extra clothing instead of turning up our heating. But this also comes with a warning: we mustn't compromise our health and well-being in doing so. We could buy less stuff, as extraction of raw materials required to make our possessions is often extremely harmful to workers and the environment. We should become more considerate buyers. Our purchases have ethical consequences, so we must consider how something was made, how long it will last, and what will happen to it at the end of its life. And it asks us to conserve water whenever possible and turn lights out that are not in use. And then we have the second one, reuse or repurpose. We should try and fix or mend things such as electrical or electronic goods, clothes or cars, rather than buying new. And then share or donate belongings, tools, books, clothes with others instead of discarding. And the last one, recycle. We're asked to try to prevent waste by avoiding buying overly packaged or single-use goods, to carry a reusable cup and maybe pack a homemade lunch. We could make compost with waste, food and paper, and use this to grow our own food. We should also know what can and cannot be recycled and make sure our recycling is clean. What is good for us, the report says, is good for the environment, and what is good for the environment is good for us. Couldn't we make a resolution to carry out some of these suggestions? In doing so, we could find our whole lives transformed and at the same time make a difference in the world.
Go down to the house of the potter, watch him work the clay. Listen to what I say as you watch him. Go down to the house of the potter, watch him. Watch him turn the wheel. No, that's how I feel as I'm working. For I need these earthen vessels filled with light that overflows. Put my treasure in earthen vessels, bend the scale of the
house of the potter, and there he was, working at his wheel. Sometimes the vessel would spoil in his hands, and he would rework it as it was fitting for him to do.
That was Go Down to the House of the Potter, sung there by the Fisher Folk. I haven't heard this group for many years, but that song was based on Jeremiah chapter 18, which speaks of our lives being reshaped by God, much like a ruined pot might be refashioned by the potter into a vessel fit for use. Would that we could all become reshaped and do more for those in our world who cry out, "Master, have mercy on us," which is a cry which appears in our gospel reading today. Would that we who've been given so much could all return God's favour to others and in this way show our gratitude to him, rather like a leper in this next story. Here it is, taken from St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." In that story, Jesus healed 10 lepers, yet only one of them came back to thank him. And this man was, as the story says, a foreigner, in fact, a Samaritan. The others were presumably Jews, sworn enemies. But here, in their tragic state, leprosy had been a great leveller. They were all in the same boat. What happened to the other nine? I suppose they were simply doing as Jesus directed, running off in the direction of the temple to have themselves declared clean by the priests so that they could re-enter life within a community once more. And I would imagine to praise and give thanks to God there in the place where they believed he dwelt. But only the Samaritan acknowledged Jesus' true power and kindness. He alone thanked him for the healing. Only he prostrated himself before him in worship at his feet. Here's Stuart Townend singing, Lord, I Am Grateful.
Lord, I'm grateful, amazed at what you've done. My finest efforts are filthy wrecked, but I'm made righteous by trusting in the Son.
Time of Jesus, not only did lepers have to bear the sufferings that came with their disease, they had to keep well away from anyone else, including their families. Imagine not being able to hold your loved ones in your arms anymore. They had to walk downwind of healthy people and stay at a set distance so as not to pass any contamination on. They must have been so isolated, so desperate. Yet in Jesus they discovered a friend. Some of us today may be feeling that way today, in need of a friend, cut off and lonely, and quite possibly in pain. So here's a song to let you know of one who cares, just like he did then for those 10 outcasts. Here's Paul Bellocci singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
So did the other nine lepers deserve to be healed? Do the ungrateful deserve rewards? Do we sinners deserve God's gracious love? No, but God's grace is a gift to us. In the story of Les Misérables, the main character Jean Valjean, a former convict, steals silver forks and spoons from the house of a bishop who has shown him hospitality. Valjean is caught and arrested by gendarmes and marched back to the bishop's house. But instead of condemning the man, the bishop tells him off for forgetting to take the candlesticks with him too. Valjean is absolutely speechless. He is released, and after the gendarmes leave, the bishop then encourages him to take the silver and use it to make a more meaningful and honest life for himself and others. The bishop's generosity reflects God's compassion and graciousness towards us. We don't deserve such love and forgiveness, but we are offered it anyway. We don't have to wait until we're good enough. Grace comes to us as a gift from heaven. In St. Paul's letter to the Romans 5:8, it says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So grace simply means God's reward at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. Here's that clip from Les Misérables where the bishop tells Valjean, "I have saved your soul for God."
"But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind. You forgot. I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?"
"Monsieur, lass ihn gehen. Was dieser Mann sagt, trifft zu."
"I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for
How often do we fail to give thanks to God who has poured out such love and mercy upon us throughout our lives? A reading like this one today reminds us how desperate people were to receive the healing Jesus offered. His compassion, his desire to rescue those who needed saving, is what brought people flocking to him, and it's what drew people to his life-giving words. Thank God for those who dedicate their lives to helping the sick and the troubled of our world. In our prayers today, let's give thanks for all those involved in caring and healing roles, especially faith leaders and chaplains. for all consultants, doctors, nurses and care workers, for our families, friends and for our neighbours, and for all on whom we rely in life. We thank God for their many and varied gifts. Psalm 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Therefore, we're going to end our programme today with a song which does just that. But first, a blessing for you, which can be found in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. May God strengthen you in his glorious might, with ample power to meet whatever comes your way, with fortitude, patience and joy, and a deep gratitude. Thank you once again for listening to New Day Dawning. Please join again with us next week. It's goodbye from me and goodbye from Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.